here we go. We're learning over here Mizma Mem Tes again. Now we're going to do the second round. We spent already a few days going through this extremely difficult Mizmar. For me, at least, it's a very difficult Mizmar. It was very, very worth it to go spend the time learning the Perush of the Mitzvah David. Here, Rabbi, please. It was very kedai to go through the Mitzvah David. We went through the best that we can. Now we're going to go through it a second time, and we're going to go through it with Rashi. Okay, so Rashi obviously is going to have a very different approach to understand these psukim. Here we go. Lamatzech levnekarach Mizmar, Shimu Zois Kol Amim, Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Choled. Page 432. Shimu Zois Kol Amim, Lefi, Shemizmar Zem Yusuf al Bnei Adam, Haboichim V'Oshram, Omar Kol Ho'amim, Shekulam Tzrichim Yisur. We actually did this Rashi we did in the beginning, that being that this Mizmar is a general concept of the pursuit of material gain, it is universal. It's not only to Jews, it applies to all nations of the world. How often did Rashi say something like that? By the way, that Rashi is in these I don't know what you will call brackets, these bookmarks, a less than sign, a greater than sign, obviously indicating that this part of the Rashi is suspicious. Maybe Rashi did not even write this. Maybe someone else added this. In general, who wrote the Rashi on Tehillim? We assume it is Rashi. But this section over here, they're putting over here these little symbols, it's not so clear what their intent is. Next, Cholet. What is Cholet? He Ha'aretz. So we learn according to the Parashat of the Mitzvah Zav, the word Cholet refers to a temporary. Temporary. We suggested that the root of Cholet to mean temporary is Chaluda, rust. And rust indicates that nothing in this world lasts forever. Even metal goes through a process of decay. Okay, rust has an effect. It weakens the integrity of the metal. Metal that is rusty means it's not, I don't know the science behind this, but I think maybe some people here know can explain. When something gets full of rust, if it's a thick rust, it means it can be the amount of pressure that needs to be applied to sever, to cut is less than the metal in its original state. Is that correct? Is that a correct statement? Maybe I'm wrong. You have a piece of metal, and the metal is full of thick rust. I assume that means that there's been a significant decay to a degree. Obviously, it's still very strong in its integrity. I don't know. We have to Google this. We have to really understand the science behind this, but the Mitzvah Stavit over here is relating the word Cholet. The word Cholet. What?
A rusted pipe weighs less than the solid.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so that goes to show that it's not the same.
Okay. Did anyone bring their gun? Bring the hammer, not
hot gun. Okay, so the word Cholet, it means it is temporary. It means obviously that nothing in this world lasts forever. Even a material that you think it should be robust and should be forever, it's not going to be around forever. Kol Yoshei Cholet. Now that is not what the Rashi says. Rashi says Simchol Hiyaretz. It's the earth. Al Shem Shehi Noishenes V'Chaluda. The earth is old and rusty. Okay, Rabbeinu Perushu Al Shem HaChaluda Shibayabasha. Now this a Chulda. A whole new interpretation, which requires a whole elaboration to understand what this means, which I don't know. But there's a very interesting principle that every creature that exists on the earth has a parallel creature in the sea. And what is interesting is that when Adam HaRishon named all of the creatures, he only named the creatures on earth, and we on our own have to go and figure out the parallel creature in the sea. There's a kelef.
What's funny about that is that it's very frequently found. We have things like the sea lion, the sea horse.
Excellent.
The sea cow.
Right.
And so on.
The sea cow, never heard that one.
Fish.
Okay, exactly. So that's something. So this is something which Chazal already have said, which said already 3,000 years ago, is that every creature, there is a parallel world. There's a parallel world. There's a world in the Yam, and there's a world on dry land. Everything that there is on dry land, there is an equivalent in the Yam. It's an amazing concept. So therefore, Adam HaRishon did not did not name anything in the ocean. Everything in the ocean, everything in the ocean is just a parallel of what's here on dry land. So if there's a kelev on dry land, there's a kelev in the yam. If there is, like you said, you call a sea lion, there's an ari on dry land, even the goyma marker that there's a lion in the sea. Now you know what that means? It means that when the world was destroyed, in the time of the Mabul, we know that the dogim shebayam were not affected. Okay, Noach did not take into the teva the creatures of the yam. They were not affected. So that means that if there is this parallel, a parallel world, and they really, like, they're just two sides of the same coin, you know, there is this concept where one can be the source to replicate the other. What? No, so yeah, if Chazal is saying this, you have to say the personality, the koiches hanefesh. We know that every creature has unique qualities. An owl can see in dark. Havi'az kinomer, gibor kari. Every creature has its unique characteristics. So those characteristics exist on dry land, and they exist in the sea. What would happen if a creature would become extinct on dry land? There are no more lions. No more lions in this world. You can't even find one lion. So what would you do if you want to go take this idea to an extreme? What I'm saying may be totally false, probably is. But let's say there are no lions. So is there a sea lion? Yes, there is. So you know what? Let's go to the sea lion. Let's go into the laboratory. And let's somehow use that sea lion to rejuvenate or to resurrect a land lion. Because they're part of the same team.
No.
They're part of the same, that's what Chazal is saying, no? I mean, obviously, I'm telling you something theoretical. I'm telling you something theoretical. If these two parallel one another, there is to some degree this connection. Let's see Rashi. Now, there's an exception though. And now you also said, well, you said a mermaid. What's a mermaid? Isn't there such a thing where people are part fish?
Imaginary, no.
Who says imaginary? No, really. They are interesting.
We even know her name, right?
They are interesting Ma'amori Chazal that talk about this. It's not so pashut. Okay, one of the Ashmedai. That was the Daf Yomi not that long ago. Wasn't it the Daf Yomi not that long ago? With Ashmedai. 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 I already know. New hand. What was the mice of the air? Is that the feet of no, no, I'm talking about a shoe I went to.
That's a different category.
Okay. No, I read somewhere that when they came to America, so at some point in time, now, I don't know, did they have horses in America?
No.
So when they first imported horses to America, the Indians, when they saw someone riding a horse, they thought it was one entity. They thought it was a human being,
like a centaur,
that had 4 feet. And what do you expect? You saw a child saw a horse coming, and on the horse was mounted a person. And you're not able to see, you know, the details that and they really thought these are godly creatures, human beings on top, with 4 feet on the bottom, able to gallop and go very, very quickly, and they were terrified. They really thought that it was one creature, one entity. What entity? Until the person got off the horse, then they saw that it's not the same. They never saw something like this. All right. And in the end, Chazal said that generally, this is a very fascinating thing: is that whatever exists on the earth exists in the sea, but there are exceptions, and there are different Amori Chazal that dwell upon this concept of the exceptions. Over here, it's over here. Al Shem, over here, Rabbi Seinu Perishu, Al Shem Hachulda, the weasel, Shehi Bayabasha. It exists only on the dry land, ve'eina bayam, and does not exist in the sea. It does not exist in the sea. D'tor rabbanon kol sheyesh bayabasha, any creature that exists bayabasha, yesh bayam. Chutz. Misoira. You have to assume that this is like a halacha l'moshe. There are certain secrets of knowledge that are only given down through tradition. like the birds. Like, you know, how do you know the Torah tells you the kosher birds and not and that? Because why does it list the non-kosher birds? Because there are the majority of birds are kosher. How do you know that? How do we know all the birds? The Torah is telling you certain scientific facts that you would. Okay, so Chazal, so it's a Messiah. I don't know. It's nothing more than a tradition. It has to be more than a tradition. And chutz min hayachulda, except there is no such thing as a chulda in the yam. Which now this you can take this now and you can now. So therefore, we use the chulda as the in the lefi the pshuta shel mikra as a model to describe the earth. Choled. What is the choled? The earth. Why would you use the word choled to refer to the earth? When you want to emphasize something, it's a tremendous musa. The identity of an object or person, anything, is what is unique. Something that captures its uniqueness. A chulda is unique. That it does not exist in the yam. Any creature that you see, okay, there's a creature that's on dry land and there's a creature that is in the yam. A chulda, a weasel, only exists on dry land. So when we want now to appreciate the beauty, the concept of dry land, we draw from something that is unique about it. On this earth, the only thing you're ever going to find on this earth is a chulda. If you go into the yam, you're not going to find a chulda. So could you imagine? The chulda is not a very nice creature. I don't think people are very happy. There's a whole article I didn't read. I only read the headlines. I have none of the page to read anything. Is there's a whole article in Mishpacha magazine about the rat infestation of New York City. Okay, and the mayor, I don't know what it said in this article. Can you imagine that on the cover of the page? This is so important to write about. There's nothing else doing in Klal Yisrael but to talk about Shrutzim in New York City. That's what all they have. I don't understand why that became the cover article of Mishpacha magazine. There are a lot of things going on in Klal Yisrael about the rats, the chuldas. What is a rat? A chulda. I don't know. A chulda, whatever. What is it, a mouse, a chvez, whatever. It's all the same to us. A chulda. So what makes this earth unique? It's the only place you can find a chulda. You can find a chulda. You cannot find a chulda in the yam. Therefore, if that's what makes it unique, so we're going to call the dry land choled, because that's the only thing that makes it special. Isn't that shocking? I mean, what about man? What about a human being? Or there are human beings that live on the water? You ever come meet those people?
What about the amphibians?
So that's not an Adam.
No, I'm just saying in terms of these animals.
So the Chazal is saying that every animal that you find in water, there's an equivalent to a creature that lives on this earth. So if we wanted, according to Rashi, to describe the uniqueness of this earth, what's special? What is so special about this earth? Go underwater. There's a whole world down there. And we always say is that we know. Okay, we know much, much more about what goes on in outer space than what is going on down in the ocean, because we've spent the world has spent billions, if not trillions, of dollars exploring outer space, and they've spent very little, very, very little technology and money has been invested to discover what's going on deep, deep down in the earth. No one cares. It's boring. But there's amazing stuff going on. There's amazing, amazing things. We know what's going on in the Hubble telescope. We know what's going on billions of miles away. But in our own neighborhood, we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what's going on below the ground in the ocean. We're just not interested. So we want to identify something. We want to find something unique. There's a beautiful world, dry land. But guess what? If you go underground, there's a whole world down there. A whole magnificent world, incredible chokhmah, beyond imagination. So, what's so special about the earth? Maybe it's nicer down there, underground, in the water. So, Chazal say, wait a minute, you're not gonna find down there a chulda. There are no rats. There are no exterminators down there.
There are rats. There are weasels.
Weasels, fine, whatever you want to call the chulda. There's no chulda. Therefore, because there's no chulda down there, there's no chulda, this earth is unique in that you have chuldas. You're going to say, a chulda is not a very pleasant creature. That's a very powerful mussar. That's right, it's not a pleasant creature. But it's what makes this world unique. And appreciate that it's Hashem's creation, and Hashem only put chuldos on the earth. That says something. And we're going to call the earth the choled, after the chulda, because this is what is unique about this earth. Maybe have some respect for the chulda. Maybe there's something special about the chulda we don't really appreciate. These long gemaras and mesecht pesachim dealing with bedikas chametz and the chulda. Okay, these very complicated sugyas. When the chulda takes away one of your 10 pieces, and you put out your 10 pieces, and the chulda, you watch it, it takes it away. What do you do? All these very interesting scenarios about the chulda, all the trouble the chulda makes when it takes your piece of chametz. It's a very, very interesting concept here.
Chol
Anavia, very good. You're saying very good. Right. So why would she call chulda? Why would she call chulda? And there must be a reason. Farsh must say why. I don't know. But this is a very, very, I think to me at least, the whole earth is called the word chol, al shame, the chulda. Now, by the way, now what about the sea? What creature is there? What creature is there in the yam that does not exist on the dry land?
Everything.
No, what?
They can't live on land, but with fish.
There is one thing. There is one creature that's Tsardeya. That's what it says. I think in Perek Shira. That's why the Tzardeya, the Shira is Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Liolam Voev. If I'm not mistaken, the same Chazal that says there's a Chulda only on dry land and not in the Yam, there is a Tzardeya that only exists in the Yam, does not exist on dry land. The Maka, Dam Tzardeya, Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought to this earth something that they cannot deal with. This earth is not capable of dealing, cannot be hospitable to a tzardeya. Because there's no equivalence. It's interesting, if you want to go bring to the dry land a sea lion, I'm just saying words that make no sense. You want to go bring to the dry land a sea lion, well, we have lions, and we can deal with them, whatever that means. So the same way we can deal with a lion, maybe we can bring a sea lion to this world also, because we know what they're all about. Obviously, they have a different set of rules. I'm just saying words that make no sense. But when you bring something to this world that there is no equivalent, it doesn't belong here. It really doesn't belong here. It's like the elephant in the room. And it's a very uncomfortable situation to bring something that you really don't know how to deal with. If you have, and this earth, the earth is, you have a lion, now you have sea lions, okay? But to have tzardeya, walk into your bedroom, walk into your living room, who are you? Who are you? I don't know who you are. I don't know how to deal with you. Because there is no equivalent of your kind in this world. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem brought the second Makkah, tzardeya, he created this incredibly uncomfortable situation in Egypt, not just because on a very plain level that they're very annoying and they're making noise, and especially if you want to learn that a tzardeya is not a frog, it's a crocodile. I mean, I don't. Crocodiles are one of the most dangerous creatures in the entire world. A crocodile. You ever see some of these documentaries about crocodiles? What they can do? It's pachad pachadim. Can you imagine having a crocodile in your house? Pachad pachadim. But it's more than that. It's a conceptual. It's abstract. Think like the Maral. Think in abstract terms. Egypt was a very comfortable country. Everything was, we have a solution for every problem. It's like China. When COVID broke out, and China is a very irreligious country, from what I understand. They don't acknowledge. They don't acknowledge. It's like someone I told you once, many times, a person I know, he works in China a good part of the year. He used to, at least. And he used to come back very rarely and speak by Shalosh Shuddis and talk about his experiences in China. He was there, you know, in these manufacturing companies. And he says that, and he tries to talk to them about religion. There's no one to talk to. There's like nothing in their head that is receptive. He says they're robots to an extreme. You can't appreciate, they're just not wired to allow religion into their minds. And that's why it's a pelvis. You see a ger from China, an Oriental, who becomes a ger tzedek. It's a very, very rare and a very extremely unique type of a person.
And there's so many people like that.
There are very few.
Have we
had a little time already? Yes, Alicia. I haven't seen him in years. Yeah. I haven't seen him in many, many years. Alicia. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
They have no previous experience with
alliances. Aha, interesting. They have no alliances. See, it's not a chiddush for a Christian to become a Jew. It's not a chiddush. A Christian, you know, the Esav. Esav is a child of Yitzchak. Esav is the brother. Is the brother of Yaakov. No, so he's misguided in his religion. Okay, even Yishmael, an Arab. You know, Allah. They have some concept. They're B'nai Avraham. But these Orientals, the way he tried to explain, there's no one home. There's literally no one home. And look what happened when COVID started in China. So they showed these videos where, we have a solution to every problem. They built literally overnight hospitals, like robots. We need a hospital. They built massive, not like Americans who are very slow and lazy. Overnight, they show tens of thousands of beds ready to go, like nothing. Oh, we got a solution. Everything is controlled. Everyone has a number. They're masters in technology like you can't even begin to imagine. Supposedly, the Pentagon in the United States is terrified of the technology that the Chinese have. The United States doesn't have anything. They have, no, not necessarily. It seems they're way, I don't know, it's not important. But there's a certain attitude of when you don't need Hashem, of we can solve any problem, we have all the resources. Egypt did not need Hashem. Egypt had the Nile. The Nile flooded, it was clockwork, the land was irrigated, it produced beautiful produce, and they had plenty of food. There's nothing, we don't need Hashem. It was not in their minds. We have a problem, we have a solution to everything. All of a sudden, Moshe shakes up their whole way of life. What's your source? What is your source of life? The Nile. The Nile turned into blood. Next thing, everything in your life is so wonderful. Let me bring you some aliens. The Tsardeia was the equivalent of a UFO. At Tsardeia, whatever is on the dry land, on the Abasha, is in the dry land. So anything that comes out of the Abasha, no, we can deal with. We've seen this before. We have a solution. We have technology. When a Tsardeia walks into your living room and sits down on your couch, then you don't know what to do. Then even the Chinese don't know what to do. Even the Egyptians don't know what to do because there is no equivalent of a Tsardeia on dry land. We have no experience with this. And this makes us comfortable, and we're not supposed to be uncomfortable because everything in our lives is perfect. We have a solution to every problem. It's with precision that Hashem brought upon the dry land a Tsardeia. Because the Tsardeia is the only creature that does not exist on dry land, which means we don't have a manual and we don't have technology to deal with this, and we become very uncomfortable and disturbed. But what are we going to do now? That's exactly what Hashem is trying to tell these people. Wake up. You're not in control of this world. So these two are parallels. The Chulda and the Tsardeia. May it's a good Shidduch. Who would be the shviga? It's a good shidduch. Each one of these two are completely opposite creatures, have no connection, the weasel and the tzvardeya. And that's why we call it the choled. So wouldn't you think now that we should call the yam the same way we call the yam, the dry land, the choled? Is there any word referring to the yam that connects it to a tzvardeya? Tzadi pei. Reish, is there any such word you would expect it to be an equivalent? I don't know. All right, pasuk gimel, gamnei adam. Now we go to Rashi. Rashi is kedarkoi, is going to learn the psukim over here in a more midrashic format. It says in pasuk gimel that gamnei adam, gamnei ish, yachad osher v'yevon. Who is the bnei adam? The bnei adam over here is bnei Avraham shnikra ha'adam hagadol b'anakim. Avraham, we're referring over to Avraham. Referring over, everyone should listen, all of the descent, the B'nai Adam, referring to Yishmael and Avraham's six children from Keturah. Avraham had how many children in total? Eight children. He had Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak, yikar lecha Zara. That's number one. Number two was Yishmael. And then the next six were the B'nai Keturah. Eight children came from Avraham Avinu. These eight children dominate the world. They dominate the world. What about everyone else? I mean, Avraham was the only person. There are other people in the world. I don't know, but it cannot be that these eight people, these are the B'nai Avraham. Avraham Ho'ivri, he brought into this world an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of these came from Avraham Avinu. Anyone that believes in Hashem has to be from these people, from descendants of Avraham Avinu. You want to go say the Hanefesh? There's a famous medrash, Hanefesh Asher Osu V'Choron. What happened to all those neshamas? Avraham Avinu, he spent many years in the Choron, and it says that he went, and he took with him when he finally left. I forgot exactly where he took with him the nefesh Asher Osu V'Choron. What happened to them? So Chazal say they all went back to their old ways. He invested an enormous amount of time and effort, and they all At the end of the day, but Chazal say,
it wasn't
totally
waste.
No, it's what.
Because he did introduce the concept.
So Chazal said that anyone, the impact that he made upon these people, even though at the time, they abandoned Yiddishkeit, but the impact he made was eternal. And any person today in this world that you discover, that is not, if you would be able to trace his lineage, and he's not, yeah, you would be able to trace lineage, and he's native to Klal Yisrael, and he has an appreciation, and he has an appreciation for Klal Yisrael, and he's good to Klal Yisrael, is a descendant of the Nefesh Asher Osu V'Choron. Just like the other medrash, that all of the children that Sarah Imenu nursed became their descendants became gerim at the time when they made a party. Vayas Avraham mishte gadol biyoyim hi gomel es Yitzchak. So what did Chazal say? The people did not believe that Sarah Imenu really had a child. They thought that they found a child, an abandoned child in the street. They went to the fire department and took a child home with them, someone who abandoned. They did not believe. So what happened? So Hashem did a miracle that when the women came to the party, they all did not bring with them their nurses. And the children were crying. They were hungry. So Sarah said, I'll nurse them for you. I'll nurse your child from you. And when they saw Sarah Imenu, when they saw that she nursed their children, then they believed, oh, it's taka true that so really a miracle happened. 90-year-old woman had a baby. And what happened to these children? The fact that they nursed from Sarah Imenu, the sanctity of nursing from a holy woman, those people, their descendants, either became gerim or were chasidei umay so'ilam. So you never know what the impact you make on a person. You do something, you behave a certain way, And you walk, the day is over, you think, what a waste of time. What a waste. You never know. Years later, what you've done percolates. It's a seed, and it can blossom big. Very, very big. There are so many stories like this of people that invest so much time and effort, and at face value, it is a massive failure. And then 50 years later, you see Paris. Paris that you would never, ever imagine. And you learn that over and over again. The Chazal says, it's a nefesh, asher osu v'choron, the children that sorry men who nursed. And here it's telling you, gam b'nei Adam, gam b'nei Ish. Adam over here is b'nei Avraham, shenikra Adam ha-gadol bo'anakim. The man that is great, he is called the Adam. Adam, Avraham Avinu is called the Adam. Because the Adam ha-gadol bo'anakim among giants. He's great among giants. Next, b'nei who are they? Yeah? Correct.
So after as the Maharal would say, after the failure of Adam or Rishon, then comes Abraham, who is the new edition.
Second edition.
Yes, 2.0.
Okay, so there's an Adam, they're saying Adam 2.0. See, they used to say second edition. We live in the modern world of technology, the 2.0 man. No more second editions. Everything is digital. Now it's 2.0, a whole new term for the modern generation. B'nei Avraham, Shnikra Chodma Gadol Ba'anakim, the one that is great among giants. B'nei Yishmael, U'B'nei Keturah. These are seven. The seven other children of Avraham. And of course, there is Yitzchak, that is number eight, or really Reish V'Rishon. Okay, next. Gam B'nei Ish, who is B'nei Ish, Gam B'nei Noach. Who is the Ish? This is the Medrash type. This is B'nei Noach Shenikra. He's called an Ish Tzaddik. He's the Ish Tzaddik. Okay, now we're going to do the Rashis now. I know that there's the Unkelis. It's very important to learn the Targum over here on these, because the Targum over here is going to inject, but I didn't prepare the Targum too well. So we're going to hold off on the Targum until let's first do the Rashis. Then maybe we'll come back by the time we have time. But right now, let's just go to the Mizmor with the Rashi. There is some overlap with the Targum and Rashi. But again, we'll come back to that later on.
Page
434. Page 434. Next, Hogus Libi Tivunois, Machshavas Libi, the thoughts of my mind, that's the Mitzudai said the same thing, Tivunois, same, the thoughts of the Hogus Libi, Machshavas Libi, Tivunois, same, they are full of Tivuna. Tivuna means wisdom. Miloshin Bina, Hashem gave an Isha, understanding. I want to say is that over here in Pasuk, you know, over here we're not trying to discriminate. There is Adam, that's a male. I don't know. Adam really is mankind, but Ish, Asher ve'Evyon, and then it says the women also are included because HaKadosh Baruch gave a woman Bina Yisera. Bina Yisera Tevuna comes from the word Bina. Okay, so it's saying over here is an addition to the male element of we're also dealing with the women. V'Hogos Libi Sivunois. The thoughts of my heart are full of wisdom. Pasuk, hey, next pasuk. Okay, look at the Rashi. Rashi, atel mashal ozni, ledivrei Torah, shenikres mishal hakadmoini. So this is a beautiful medrash. And he's saying over here that instead of the way we learned it to mean simply that I'm going to go give you some riddles. I'm going to give you an example. The example was comparing it to a brother. The futility of pursuing wealth is a waste of time because the money's not going to be able to accomplish anything at the end of the day. And the marshal gave just a marshal, a person has a brother, he's in trouble with the law, and his brother, all of his money's not going to be able to save him. So here, he is not saying that. He's saying the word marshal refers to the Torah HaKadosha. Because where do you find a code? These are all code words. You're learning over here, it's teaching you how to think abstractly, Rashi. The word mashal is the mishal hakadmoni, and the mishal hakadmoni in Sefer Shmuel refers to the Torah. So ate, I will bend l'mashal ozni. I will bend my ear to listen, to study, to absorb the words of Torah. L'divrei soira shenikres mishal hakadmoni. Eftach lochem chidasi zois bechinor, and I will now open up my riddle to you. with a kinor. So, and what is the, he's not explaining over here any medrash over here with a harp. And v'zohi hachida, what is the riddle? Lama nitzarech liro bimei ra. There's no need for me to fear. On the day of ra, b'yoyim pikuda sadin, lefi, sha'avoin akevai yisubeni, avoinoit shanidosh ba'akevai, the sins which I trample upon with the sole of my foot, shani mizalzel bohem, shehem be'inai averos kalis, heim marshios oisibadin, they will declare me guilty on the day of din. On the day of din, I have to be afraid of this. Again, lo mani tzorich lo mira. Why do I have to be terrified of the Yom HaDin? It's very similar to what we said in the Mitzvah Stavit so far. I'm a good guy. I'm really a good guy. The best of my knowledge, I didn't kill anyone. I didn't commit duavo de zara or anything like that. So what are you worried about already? I didn't rob a bank. No one. I'm not on the FBI's 10 most wanted. So I'm just as good as everyone else. So there's no need for me to worry about the Yom HaDin. Not so fast. Maybe you're right, you're not on the FBI's 10 most wanted, but you have small averos. Averos which nothing is small. It's not a nice thing to say. Nothing is small, but averos which people are mezalzel. Lama ni yotzach laro bimei ra biyam pikudas hadin the day when I have judgment lefi shavon akivai yisubeni shavon shani dosh baakivai shani mezalzel bochem sheheim beinai averos kalis heim those sins marshios oisi bedin they will declare me guilty in din v'kol shekein ha'amim haboit. Now here is where Rashi differs with the mitzudos. And that's what I'm worried about. What do the goyim, you see how he is, the goyim, the amim, they have to worry about the fact that they are boitchim al chelam uma betza bimimoinam. And what is the prophet? He's putting the focus on the goyim who put their full confidence in their wealth. Then he comes to mock them. Uma betza bimimoinam. What is the benefit? Uma betza. What here means what benefit? Haloi ochlo yuchal liftois esocha bimimoinai. Lefish im boim liftois ish esochiv yis yakar pidyoi navshon mikol hoin. It's not going to help. If one person has a brother that is in trouble with the law, all of his money is not going to be enough to pay the price to redeem his brother. Lefichach al korchai chodal hu le'olam, he will desist. He is lost forever. Miliftoisoi sheyichye lenetzach v'lo yireh hashochas. He will not be able to redeem him so that he should live and not die. Okay, that's the way Rashi learned Shah in the pasuk. That. It's a little difficult here, but he's drawing a contrast according to Rashi between us and them. We don't have this problem. Very funny, right? We don't have this problem that we don't live for the money. We live for whatever reason, whatever we do, Hashem's avodah. We have to worry about our small averos. But the goyim who put their faith in their wealth, they have to worry. On the day of din, they're in a lot of trouble because all of their money is not going to be able to help them. And the proof is that if they have a relative who is in trouble, all of their money will not be enough to redeem them from their sentence so that they can live and not see the grave. Next, umna umenachim chibroi, loshon minia kumo oikir enosh mipaz, man is more he's saying the word oikir. Let's see what he says. Ve'elechimam b'chamas keri kolaymar v'yimna pidyon nafsham to hold back their redemption. Let's see what's in the aleph. Sif says the kain. Perish Rashi zal v'yekar. Now Rashi learned yekar means it is too expensive. The cost of redemption is always more than what you have. Person has $1 billion, it's not enough. You have $44 billion, it's not enough. The only one that's smiling is Rabbi Chal when I say that. It's the only Rabbi Chal. How come he'll get? He's the only one who reads the news here. Okay. So 40. Whatever you have, rations v'yekar means it is too expensive. That's, I think, a more precise translation according to Rashi. It is too expensive to redeem your brother with all of the money that you have. No matter how much money you have, the price will always be more. It's too expensive. V'yekar pidyon nafsham. It is the redemption of their soul, the soul of your relative who is in trouble, whom you want to redeem, is yekar. It's too expensive. And therefore, in the words, and therefore, v'chodal le'olam, you will fail. You will hold back forever because you don't have enough. You can't do it. It's the reason why you're holding back and not redeeming your brothers because you just don't have enough money. And therefore, and he's adding in words, Rashi, do you think he'll live forever? And you go, v'lo yir hashochas? Impossible, because you don't have enough money to redeem him. Menachem learns, v'yekar means you will hold back, because yekar piyur nafsham, it's just another word, it's like basically a repetition with the word v'chodal. Chodal means you're going to hold back, and the word v'yekar means fall back. Two words which mean the same thing in this poetic repetition. In the Sivzei Zekeinu Moisalef, Perish Rajasal v'yekar, she'yichye lo'netzach, Ritzon Olemar, Hamikra Mitzoros. The words of the Pasuk have to be translated backwards. Kilu Amar, v'yekar pidyom nafsham, it's too expensive, the redemption of their soul, v'chi oid lo'netzach lo'yir hashochas, v'chodal le'olam. Okay, so he's putting, what he's doing over here is, according to Rashi, he's explaining with a lot of precision, he's putting the two words v'chodal le'olam at the end of the sentence. Ritzon le'olamar, al kein, therefore, because it's too expensive, chodal le'olam milifdoisoy k'perish Rashi zal ayin sham. So Rashi learns, again one more time, lo yitin lichem l'nav, v'yekar p'yon nafsham, it's too expensive to redeem their souls so that they can live forever and not see the grave. And therefore, the chodal, the rich brother, will hold back lo'olam from forever from redeeming his brother. He's putting the two words at the end of the sentence. However, avo l'perish ha-menachem, Zal Shaperish Vyekar Vimona Pinyanavsham, which means that he's gonna hold back. Ein ha mikra misoiras. You don't have to rearrange the words of the Pasuk. Kihochi Kamakra Vyekar Ritzon Olemar Shayim Shenimna Miliftois Pinyanavsham. This brother, the rich brother, is gonna hold back from redeeming his brother. The Chodom Miliftoisai, he's gonna hold and he's gonna hold two words between the same thing, it seems. Kidei, he's gonna hold back. He's going to hold back from redeeming him so that he should live. He's going to hold back. According to Menachem, the word v'chodal yolam is basically a poetic repetition. And Rashi does not like that. Okay, so this is a very nice thing over here, which touches upon something that we do many, many times, really more in the Mitzudos. And that is, he touched upon two principles that we always like to dwell upon when we learn Nach, and that is, number one, poetic repetition. Poetic repetition. According to Menachem, the word v'chodal has exactly the same translation as the word v'yekar. The brother, the rich brother, will hold back from redeeming the neshama of his brother, v'chodal le'olam, and will hold back. So what do you mean? It says v'yekar, and it says v'chodal lo'olam. Why are we sandwiching the word piyur nafsham in between two expressions which mean exactly the same thing? And the answer is, this is a style of writing. It's poetic repetition. It's like we said, nimshal kabehemois nidmu. The word nimshal, you are compared. Nidmu is compared. And behema is the word in the center. So we surround the noun, the animal, by two words. They are compared. as just a poetic expression, Nimshal Kabehemois Nidmu. According to Menachem, that's exactly what we are doing over here. The Yegar, you're going to hold back. Pidyon Nafsham, the redemption of their soul. The Chodal Olam, you're going to hold back forever. Same exact thing. They mean exactly the same thing, and we're just putting the surrounding that you, the fact that you can hold back. It surrounds what you're going to do in the center. Rashi does not like that. Rashi wants that each word should have a different meaning. It should not be just poetry. There should be a different interpretation. And therefore, Rashi says the word v'yekar means it's too expensive. And the word v'chadal means therefore you're going to hold back. However, when Rashi wants to do that, the sentence structure does not flow. And therefore, we have to come on to the second principle, which we always dwell upon in the shir, and that is you have to rearrange the words of the pasuk to translate the words. The words are a puzzle, and the pasuk means that the yekar pidyon nafsham, I don't have enough money. The bounty, no one wants to put a bail. The bail is $1 million. No one has that kind of money. It's just too expensive. V'yekar pidyon nafsham v'yichye od lo netzach lo yireh shachas. It's too expensive to redeem their souls so that they can live forever and not see the grave. And therefore, go backwards now, v'chodal lo'olam. The rich brother is just going to go back home and withdraw and not even make an attempt to redeem him. So we're fighting here. There's a battle between Menachem and Rashi, which principle wins. It's always the same rule in life. Everything in life is a trade-off. No one has it all. No such thing. There's no such thing as Torah u'gidula b'makayim echad. You can't have it all. You have to make a decision. What is your priority? Over here we have a conflict between poetic repetition, which is a chasarin, versus reading the words in order. So which one do you prefer? One of the two has to go there. In this pasuk, they're mutually exclusive. If you want to go in order, you want to read the words in order, then you're going to have to settle for poetic repetition. If you don't want poetic repetition, you have to sacrifice the order, and you have to understand that the words of the pasukim are not meant to be read in order. They're meant to be read backwards. It's a mikra mesuras. Okay. Next. Now we go to pasuk yud aleph. Ki yirecham yamusu v'ein yitzaylin min hamavis l'fichu deval karchochu chodal liga v'litroyach al pinyinochef. This rich man, he sees that money's not going to help him. Because he looks around in this world and he sees that people that are very, very rich and all their money does not save them from going from being put away. He sees wise men die, and the ainit sailin min hamimaves lefichli fal karchochu chadal liga v'litreach al pidyon achiv v'chelam memonim their wealth v'chachamim nemar misa she'enam meisim boilam hazeh el hagub alvar v'chasil divavar nemar aveda she'aguf anashama avudim. Okay, this is a beautiful Rashi. Rashi takes note that here in pasuk Gidalf it says kiracham yomusu. When it comes to the Chachamim and we talk about their demise, it says death. When it says the Kesil and the Yachad Kesil Vovar, it says Yovedu. So what's worse? What's worse? Is the word Yovedu worse, or is the word Misa? Misa is not so bad. Because Misa, according to the Rashi, is teaching us, Misa just means a departure from this world, but the neshama lives on. Misa is saying is a word that refers exclusively to Olam Hazeh. The neshama is not affected whatsoever in the next world. The expression of a neshama being lost, Ovad, Rashi is teaching us, means entirely this world and the next world. Okay, that's a very important lesson to take that concept and apply it elsewhere. This week's parasha. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, Rashi says that Yaakov Inu died. It doesn't say anywhere that he died. And Chazal say Yaakov Loimes. What's the ultimate proof? Okay, Rav Menachem, we deal in this industry, so this is an amazing thing. Because it says here in this post that they mourned for Yaakov before they buried him. That is keneged every halacha in Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch, What is this, what is the rule? The rule is aninus. Okay, a person dies. Well, before the person dies, there's a lot of aggravation. That's probably worse. The aggravation that goes on when the person is dying is probably worse than anything possible in this world. Okay, then when the person leaves this world, there is aninus. After aninus, when is the aninus over? What's called nistam hagoylel, which basically means when the person is buried, when the burial is complete, aninus is over, avelus begins. Yaakov Avinu, what happened? He died. I mean, whatever. It doesn't say that he died. Vayigva, whatever it says there, and then
it says
does. Okay, I take it back. It says he died.
Yeah.
It says with Vayamos.
Yes.
By Yaakov. Okay, so what did Chazal say?
Oh, it always troubled me.
What does it mean? Okay.
Because Yisrael, it doesn't say that Yisrael died.
But it has a Yaakov
died, but that's what the inference is. Because he was Yaakov and he was Yisrael.
Okay, whatever, okay.
That's what I read one thing.
But kind of funny, he died. Fine, it's not our point over here though. He died. What happened after he died? It says they embalmed him. Whatever that means. Okay, that's you're not allowed to do that. That is totally usher to do. That's totally usher. That is categorically forbidden to do that. So what in the world is going on? It's a big mystery. What do you mean? How are they allowed to do this? To embalm Yaakov Avinu, connected Kol HaTorah Kula, to do this, whatever this means.
Well, it says that Yosef told them to do
it. Yeah, so what does that mean exactly?
Yeah,
whatever.
The embalming was pulling out all the organs through the nose.
So maybe it's not the way we do it. Maybe it's a big mystery because it's totally awesome to do this. Totally awesome. You ever deal with this? Okay, whatever this is.
Dry eyes. Like,
I don't know. I have no idea what it means. Yeah, but even.
They need
70. They mourned for 70 days. Then it says they mourned for Yaakov. They mourned Avelos 70 days. They went to Gerd Ha'otoid. There was an Avel Godol. Wait a minute. They didn't bury him yet. There's no such halachic concept of avelus until after burial. So what's going on? The order it's out of order. First you bury, and then there is avelus. This is Shulchan Aruch, this is ABC. Every rabbi knows this. It says Avel, it says they did a very great mourning for the mourning for 70 days, and then by Gorin Ha'otoy they mourned. Mm-hmm. So I think this could be part of what I was learning today, this morning. This could be part of what it means is that Yaakov Avinu Lomes. The fact that the Seder is all messed up is that they right away mourned. Because the rules of ordinary death did not apply to him.
They had to transport the body from Egypt into Canaan. That's a long trip. It's not...
You're right. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. I have no idea.
Why are we applying the Shulchan Aruch today to the times of death?
You're right. Maybe that's part of the answer. It's part of the answer. This is the topic that is discussed. I don't know the answer. Is that the order, the terminology that we're familiar with, is that Avelus begins only after Stimas HaGoylel. And by Yaakov Avinu, they started the Avelus right away. And then after he was buried, nothing. We don't find any more avelus. We find them fighting right away. They go to Yosef, your father said to forgive us, and this. They right away. We don't find any avelus that took place after the burial. You know, before the burial, there's eulogies, there's hespedim, there's bechi, but not avelus. Avelus is a term, is a halachic term, which begins after Stima Sagoilo. All right, we'll go over and sidetrack. Over here we have two very, this was very kedai, this Rashi, to appreciate this Rashi. There's two different terms over here. There's a Misa and the term of Aveda. Misa means only in this world. Aveda means entirely. One thing was the Rashi, Pasuk Gid Aleph, Ki Yerecham Yemusavei Nir Nitzon, Amavis Levuch Alkar Chodal, he holds back, Liga, to work, V'letroyach Alpinyan Achav, Chelam Mamoinam, Bachacham Nemar Misa. They are lost entirely. Next page 4. 38. Kirbam batemoy lo'olam machshavosam livnois lohem batim. Their intent is to build homes sheyiskaimu lo'olam, similar to the mitzvah d'savod. Kirbam over here means in their hearts and minds. They foolishly convince themselves that their homes will be forever. Their possessions will be forever. Karu v'shmoisam es batehem shem boinim. They call their property by their name. They build a building. Trump. You put your name on your possessions, on your airplanes. There's an arrogance in this world where people want to put, they want name recognition. Why? I'm going to be around forever. He called the city. The city is called by his name. Antiochus, Bona Antiochia. Look at this Rashi. Antiochus, the Caesar of Rome.
I'm sorry, Greece?
Yeah?
Yeah, Greek.
Okay. Antiochus, Bona Antiochia. Okay. Seleucus, Bona, say the Seleucid. These were the Syrians, right? The Seleucid Empire. Okay, the empire was all divided after the death of Yavon, the Yavon of Mokdon. So then the Malchus was divided. Seleucid, Bona, Seleucia. Okay, we find people, look at Alexander the Great. Hagam Rashi didn't give the example of Alexander the Great, the deal that he made with Klal Yisrael. They made a deal, we'll call all of our children Alexander. Everyone who's in today is called Alexander. It goes back almost 2,500 years.
But the city is
Alexandria of Shalmatrayim. Alexandria Shalmatrayim. This is the derech of people. Bikar. Okay, so therefore this is the derech, and every time you see a person with a name like this, it goes back to this pasuk. What?
Maybe he's singling out people who are bigger Rishoyim than Alexander was.
I don't know. Okay, why? There are many examples. Okay. Botemo l'olam mishkenosam l'dar v'dar. These are very interesting examples. Next, now does that mean the Jews should not do this? Do we find this by Jews who build buildings? For example, examples. That's named after. That's not named by the people. It's named by the people who died.
The door was named for a man who was.
So who? The question is who named it?
The family building.
Yeah. Oh, right. So you're saying good. Yeah, absolutely. So they try to hide it by saying we're naming it after the deceased. We're naming it after a person who died. Generally, you don't find people who are alive. I'm naming this building after myself. They do it indirectly. They name it after their parents, and it just happens to be that their name also. Right? It happens to be that their name is on the building, even though I'm not naming it after myself. No. I'm naming it after parents. And the truth is, I mean, obviously, what's so terrible? You're naming it after your parents. I've never seen anyone do something like that named after themselves. Never. You have seen that?
So-and-so family building.
Yeah, but Al Shame, what will say? It's all going to say.
Al Shame, whatever, but they're still calling it the. If you go to the building, oh,
first of all, who's the one that gave it the name? No. All right, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Morgan Stern was.
Who named it?
Morgan Stern was alive.
He named it after.
There are many other examples.
Okay. All right, it's interesting. You learned this pasuk over here. Kirbam batemo l'olam. Kirbam means inside of their minds. They believe that their batim, their institutions, will be around forever. What's the proof? The proof is they put their name on it. Kirbam batemo l'olam. They put their name on it. It's a scary thing. And this pasuk over here is coming to give Musar. That's always a big shiloh when a yeshiva builds a new building. What do they do with all the plaques in the old building? It's a big disaster. So what do they do? I know in Chaim Berlin, they had in storage for a very long time, from probably from before my time, in where all the place, the East New York and Stone Avenue, all these plaques in the old Beis Medrash, they had in storage, and it was in storage for years. And then at the end, they took a lot of them and they put them upstairs on the second floor, in the lady section.
Jewish said that, back as a symptom, every UM Jews has the whole plaques,
right,
and the whole,
sure,
and
right,
the whole area.
So they took them many years to do that. For many, many years, they had these plaques. These plaques, how much they weigh today, they would never, today when they make a plaque today, it's feather light. Okay, they make a plaque today, it's made from some plastic. Okay, these plaques, okay, they have fancy ones with glass. They have fancy ones with glass and this and that, marble sometimes. But these old metal plaques, do you know how much they weigh? They weigh a ton. Boy, and those, the whole board to secure that board onto a wall, and each of those little slats, each slat itself weighs 20 pounds.
The bolts?
And it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So what do you do with this? Today, when they go and they build a new building, they do some construction. What do you do with these things? Is there an expectation? Yeah, what does he say, Rav Moshe?
You have to look it over again. I'm not sure exactly what he says, but they addressed the problem of 50 years.
50 years. There's a principle after 50 years and it expires. There's a Messiah that you don't have to say Kaddish. That you don't have to say Kaddish after only 50 years to say Kaddish. You don't have to observe Yard say more than 50 years. So I'm saying, so what Baruch is saying is that might be related to this. You understand?
There's definitely a question like that. Is the yeshiva responsible after 50 years to keep the upkeep of the plaques and the yard site?
On a Yom Tov, people give money, that we'll say a Kel Mole. You send in some money, and on the Sholosh Rugolim, Yizkar, someone will say a Kel Mole. Okay, so I mean, the Yiska book it can be, you know, up to the sky. Who's going to?
In our shul, we have these Yiska books that it's a monster.
Yeah.
You need a calligrapher to write in the names.
Who's going to say all the names? Who's going to sit there?
They used to read it.
I laid in one shul where they used to spend. Yiska took over an hour on Yom Kippur. They read every name from the book. And it took forever.
9/11 takes also
9/11.
Ah, so it's a very good example. Look at the Goyim, Lahavdil, on 9/11. Who listens? Does anyone listen to the radio? Listen to families? They listen the whole time. They listen for 3 hours. They listen to 3,000 names, over 3,000 names, and a big fight. Who gets their name? Who's included? Who's not included? People who are.
They did. When we went in 2012, when we went back to Bardia, when they had the ceremony there for the deportation, 70 years, so they read off all the names of the, it was over like 2,500 names. The ceremony read off the names of the family members and the children and everything, of every name of every person, and who did it. It took hours.
It's amazing.
The mayor of Bardia.
Amazing.
The president of Slovakia read every name.
With certain other things in the shul, like a parochus, somebody donates a parochus, they just have the right to donate the new one if theirs gets worn out.
Oh,
it's not responsible.
Right, it's another big shiloh. How, right. What happens if you go and you have someone donates a beautiful model for Sefer Torah, and now it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and now they want to put white. And the person doesn't want to give the money for the white, and the shul wants they all should match, it should look nice. So where do the rights begin? Where do the rights end? All right, let's go further. This is in the concept over here of, and in this mizmor, it's being mentioned in a derogatory way, for a person to think that he's going to be around in this world and his legacy. This represents a problem. A person has to know that this world is nothing. This world is just the proizdar to the next world. And the attitude that he's going to be around in this world, kirbam, inside of their minds, they believe, batemo le'olam is not over here mentioned in a positive way. Mm-hmm. Next pasuk yugimel bikar. So we had over here the two perushim. Does the word bikar mean, we had before the Rashi before? Rashi, the word bikar means to hold, it says it's to hold back. But here, it means it means Yokar v'Tiferes. A different word. Back in Pasuk Tes, it said V'Yekar. So there Rashi, I'm sorry, there's a Machlokes Rashi and Menachem. Rashi, when it says V'Yekar, Rashi said it's too expensive. T-O-O, expensive. Here, Rashi says the same thing is Adam Bikar, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'Adam Bikar, L'shon Yokar v'Tiferes, a man in his glory, Bal Yolin, will not be around forever. No one should think that his glory is forever. Nimshal Kabhemos Nidmu Rashi, Nimshal L'shon Moshel, Nidmu L'shon Dimama. So it seems that Rashi here is learning not like the Mitzudas, and he's saying these words are different meanings. The Mitzudas said the word Nidmu means to be compared, and the word Nimshal means to be compared, and it was poetic repetition. We sandwiched the word behema by two words which mean the same thing. Rashi appears to disagree. Rashi learns Nimshal. He is compared to an animal that is silenced. When an animal dies, there's no kilmale. Okay, unless you're a dog. Unless you're a dog. There's a dog mitzvah, bark mitzvah, and there's a funeral. There's a funeral. All.
You see the sign at the end of the airport, there's one area, it's called, you have all the parking lots, it says parking. There's one little area that says barking. In other words, it's a place for dogs, and it's called a barking lot.
Barking lot, unbelievable. Okay, so here Rashi appears to say that a person who thinks that his kovoid and tiferes will be around forever, nimshal, he is nimshal kibehemo. We're saying, other way, nimshal, a person is like kabehemois that are nidmu, are silenced. Demama, vayidoim aroin. Aroin was silent. Animal dies, nothing. No one cares, no one knows. Okay, but that's a new mishigas today. A new mishkas, but by the time of Chazal, even the guy was smart enough to realize that you don't mourn over an animal. And the truth is, that's really what man is all about as well. Man, his wealth, his greatness, his honor, when it's over, no one thinks, no one cares, no one knows. The world goes on, life goes on, everyone is worried about themselves. And if a person, when he's alive, thinks that he's going to be around forever and his cover's going to be around forever, he's living in a world of fantasy. Is no different. A person in this respect is no different. Like we said, Umosar Adam and Abehema Oyin. There's no difference. There's no difference when it comes to the guf, the superiority of man, of Adam and Abehema, Lufi Pshuta Shal Mikra, Oyin is nothing, is zero. I know there are nice drashas. Oyin represents Rashi Teva, is okay. They're different things, but Pshut Shal Mikra, there is no superiority of man over animal when his time comes. And this pasuk says kimat the same thing. A man is nimshals compared to kabehemois that nidmu, that are silenced, that are quiet when they're dead. Zedarkom kesel lamoi. This is the way of the foolish tus kesel. Over here, for some reason, in the Rashi, it says kesel. I don't know why they did that. It should be kesel, choyra. This is the way of the fool, the shtus, lomo to them. Lomo means to them. V'achareihem b'fiyem yirtzu sela. V'haboim achareihem yidab b'bohem yisab b'fiyem mo'era l'rishonim. This is not the way the Mitzudos are. If you remember, the Mitzudos learned these words to mean the children. That the people who are foolish people, not only do they practice this attitude in life of worshiping their money, they teach this to their children. They tell their children the only thing that counts is money. The achrem and the next generation, b'fihem, the words that come out of the mouths of the children of these people is yirtzu, that yes, this way is acceptable. Selah. It's like someone, I remember once in a rabbinic training school is where some rabbis were telling some stories about the life of a rabbi in some of these very big fancy shuls where the rabbi's children was in the same school with some of the members of his congregants. And once the rabbi's child got into a fight with the child of one of the big machers in the shul. And the child of the macher said to the rabbi's child, if you don't know, be quiet and do things my way, my father is not going to vote to renew your father's contract. Okay? Now, you know, it doesn't have to be a rabbi. You know, that can be, you know, any type of situation, is where the ugliness of a bad relationship between parents overflows to the children. And the children have the chutzpah to open up their mouth and make believe they're in the shoes of their father and speak with chutzpah to the children of their father's employee. So v'yachareihem, so that's really what the Mitzudas Davis said. V'yachareihem means the next generation. B'fiem, they with their mouths, yirtzu means they accept, embrace, and promote this ideology of having belief. That's the product of living such a life. It overflows to the children. Rashi says something a little bit different. He says when these people leave the world, after the people who are who live a life where they bully, they're bullies, the bullies, the next generation, they come, and they say, look what happened to these people. Where'd they go? You go into a shul, you look at the plaques on the shul, of an old shul, you look at the names. What became of this person? Who is this big, big plaque? That person was probably a very big shot in the time when the shul was there. You never know, you know. And they pushed everyone around. And now, it's 100 years later. What became of him? What happened? What happened to his money? What happened to his wealth? What happened to his family? What happened to his children? So a person should think ahead. What's going to be in the future? The relating over here means the spreading out, the relating of the words. Rabbi saying what?
Narration.
Say it again.
Narration.
The narration. Now let's finish. Rabbi saying the parish who zed darkam shel rishoyim shesoyfim avudim. He's going back now. He's going back now to the preview of the pasuk. This is the way of the wicked people. Shesoyfim avudim avul keselamo. They're fat. They have fat on their kislehem means what does that mean? Their flanks. Umechasas kilyosehem. Now the kloyos, the kidneys in Chazal, are always a metaphor for advice, sage advice. That is always the metaphor of the kidneys. The Einam, now these people, he's saying an incredible Vard Rashi. Rashi says, until now, Rashi made it very clear what Kesel means, Shtus. It means, Zed Darkam, Kesel Lamo. Which you have to translate a little bit loosely. This is the way of a foolish person. This is the way, it's really going back on the previous Pasuk, is the Shtus. This is the foolishness that comes to the wicked people, the acharehem. And when they're dead, they're gone, and now it's the next generation, the people that come, the next generation, they look back and they're going to say, what happened to these people? Where do they go? Where do they go? So a person should plan in advance. You don't want to be the subject of that conversation in the next generation when they look back and they say, wow, look at this big shot. What happened to him? A person should realize at the end, he's not going to be around. Okay, now Rashi over here is telling us another interpretation where he says Zedarkam. This is the way of people who are influenced by money. There is keselamo. There is fat. There is a thick interference upon their kidneys. A person naturally is wise. Hashem puts a person into this world. He's pure. Elokai nishama shnasata bi tohoirehi. And the kidneys are always giving good, solid advice to be humble and a Yoreh Shamayim and do the right thing. The problem is we cover up those kidneys. We seal them with fat to prevent the good advice coming forth and to guide us on the right way. This is the way. Words of Rashi are, who will eventually be completely destroyed, Aval kesel lomoy. I don't know why he puts the word aval. This is their way. Chelev yesh lohem al kislehem. They have fat on their flanks, as Michal translated. Umechatze es kilyoy sehem. It covers their kidneys. The einan yoyatzeis oisam loshuv me ro'osam, which prevents them from listening to the good advice to do teshuva. V'shema toymar shichoy hi lohem. They give counsel. That's what we said. The kloyois yoyatzeis. The kidneys is always a metaphor in Chazal for good advice. Person has kidneys, two kidneys, and the kidneys are giving advice. Why did Hashem create a person with two kidneys? Good question. I mean, we see today the kidney donors are the most amazing people in the world. People who mamish, tzaddikim gemurim, unbelievable to imagine people to go and they volunteer to give up a kidney. On my block, there is a sign on the corner of my block on East 19th Street. The guy is a tzaddik. This person who lives there is an Israeli. He's a tzaddik, and he has a little banner on the corner. Kidney donor lives here. And every time I pass that, and every single morning, I'm waiting for the red light to cross the street, I look at that, and I'm humbled. I'm amish humbled. Musar, before davening. On the way to davening, I look at that sign. Kidney donor lives here. Can you imagine just to volunteer on their own? Unbelievable. That person, he has a playground. He has there for Shabbos. Shabbos playground for the community. He has a sukkah. Anyone who wants, come into the public sukkah. He puts up a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful playground for children in the corner of the block. He donated a kidney. He makes these barbecues every so often. Unbelievable person. Not to be believed. What people do. What? No. Every so often, I don't know, you have to know the schedule. He makes barbecues, the whole block smells. But it's a tzaddik yisrael olam. Zeh darkam, so kidneys give advice. They give advice, yoy atzais. And these wicked people, they're fat. And the fat is a metaphor to covering their kidneys to prevent them from giving them good advice. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. Third interpretation of the word acharehem. Achareihem means they know good and well they're going to die. How do you know? It's on the video. They say, I'm going to die. They explicitly, it's always shogar b'fif, I'm going to die. I might as well live it up. I might as well, you only live once. Okay, someone once told that to me. One of those persons says, I go, I enjoy myself. You only live once. You have to enjoy to an extreme. Maybe, like I said, everything in this mizmor is only about attitude. Okay, who says they're wrong? Who says they're wrong? Hashem gives you bracha. Enjoy it. Okay, but the only thing is attitude. When this is the only... Chatoif yechol, chatoif ki hay alma ki behi lula damya. This world is like a wedding banquet. You go to a wedding, you go to the smorgasbord, all the food is there. You blink, you go daf a mincha, you come back, where's the food? It's gone. You only got one chance. You come early, chatoy ve'echol. Because the moment you go to mincha, you come back, this thing, oh, yeshama, the food is gone. You gotta go to a good wedding. You have to go to Marina Del Rey where they serve a good smorgasbord, right? That's it. You come late, people come. You go to the marina, people go there just for the smorgasbord. You come late, chatoif echol, that's it. You gotta know the right hall. You gotta know, Mordechai says you have to know, have a good app, tell you which hall navigate to the right place. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, so this the name you're gonna say that it's not their fault. What do you expect? So the Gemara says no. So the Chazal say no. This pasuk says v'acharehem b'fihem. Their end is continuously in their mouths. They know they're going to die, and they couldn't care less. Year to Sela, they continue to relate and to express their desire to pursue Gashmius and to have an attitude that is nothing else but this. V'ein charedim imen. That's a horrible attitude in life. Okay, we have to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue. Take a very short break. There's no coffee today. Take a short, yeah.
You must have covered this, but why is Pes Adar we started after Pasuk
Yetzer? I don't know. We do stop. No, we don't stop. We stop, no? Nimshal kabhemos nidmu? What's in the Mizmar? No, we don't stop. We don't stop. We go to the post that says Nimuch, Post Chav Aleph. Look at Post Chav Aleph. The second one. I don't think we stop. We don't stop. Okay. Take a short break. I want to talk a little bit more about Asada B'teve so we can, when we come back.
So what do you do about the muscle? The struggle muscle?
I got depressed. That's what I did about the struggle muscle.
So I listened to the story about the Kala. You know, Kala
dress. Yeah.
So he